Welcome to episode 68 of Artist Empowerment Radio Podcast. I am your host, Bob Baker. The topic up for discussion on this episode, it's career transition. That's right, we all go through it. No matter how long you've been either in a day job or no matter how long you've been pursuing some creative path, whether it's in music or art or books or whatever, there comes a time when things change. Either you're let go, the market shifts, maybe your own interests change, and your identity is sort of left up for grabs. You're not sure who you are anymore. What do you do in those situations? Well, that's one of the topics that I cover in my interview with Brian Thompson. Brian's a guy I've been following online for at least a year now, and I really resonate with a lot of the stuff that he writes and speaks about, and so I got him on Skype recently, and we spent over an hour recording an interview. In fact, I'm going to break that up into three different segments. On this one, we focus on Brian's background and what led him to do what he does today. He's actually the founding partner of Thorny Bleeder Records. He publishes something called the DIY Daily, which is an e-zine and a podcast that he does 5 days a week. That's right, 5 days a week. Talk about an underachiever. I say that sarcastically. He's also the co-host of the Music Biz Weekly podcast with Michael Brandvold. Very interesting guy, very knowledgeable. But in this, we talk about a career transition and what led him to do what he's doing now. And I think you'll find it to be a very interesting interview. And that will begin right after this little musical interlude. And speaking of this musical interlude, in case you haven't read the show notes lately, this particular little sampling of a track is something from my own musical world. My significant other, Pookie, and I, a little over a year ago, started a sideline musical project called Soul Massage. It's kind of an electronic music thing with affirmative lyrics over the top. And we were really having fun with it, giving a lot of good feedback. And in fact, for a limited time, our first three tracks that are up on Bandcamp, we are making available at a name your own price. You can download them for free if you want. And so I just want to spread this music around. Of course, I'm all about marketing and promotion and creativity. And so I'm going to practice what I preach here and let you know that you can download three of these tracks, including the little sample that you're about to hear. Just go to soulmassagemusic.com. So soul is S-O-U-L, massage, M-A-S-S-A-G-E. So soulmassagemusic.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/soulmassage. And if this music speaks to you, I hope you download it and enjoy it. Maybe share it with your friends. That's what it's all about. So stay tuned for that interview with Brian. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to another series of interviews with music biz and entrepreneurial movers and shakers here on the podcast. And this time I've got a guy on the phone, or on Skype, I should say, who I believe hails from Canada. And I've been following him in particular for the past year. And those of you that follow me on social networking sites know that I often use the handle Mr. Buzz Factor. It's something I just kind of randomly chose years ago. And this gentleman uses the term Thorny Bleeder, which to me sounds a little painful, but I'm going to ask him about the background and the meaning of that. But I've got on the phone with me Brian Thompson. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how are you, Bob?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad that we could arrange this one-on-one interview. I've been looking forward to this. And I noticed some months ago, I know one of the many things that you do, there's a wide range of things that you do, and which we're going to cover here in this interview. But just a couple months ago, you and Michael Brandvold interviewed me on the Music Biz Weekly podcast?
The Music Biz Weekly, yeah. Yeah, and that was, we had a lot of love coming in from that podcast we did with you. We had a great discussion that time.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I really enjoyed that, and yeah, I got a lot of great feedback on it. But that was actually the first time that we had, met audio-wise, at least, on Skype. We communicated by email and Twitter and so on. So this is like really the second time that we've connected, never met each other face-to-face. So hopefully one of these days we'll right that wrong.
Totally. Well, do you know what's even crazy is I've never even met Michael Brandvold, who I just recorded my 50th weekly episode of the Music Biz Weekly podcast with him. It's been almost a year and we've yet to meet.
That surprises me.
But it also goes to show you the amazing things that you can do, you know, in the digital world. You can collaborate. I mean, I guess musicians are collaborating too on albums who have never actually met face to face, you know.
Totally. And so, people are emailing, you know, MP3s and WAV files back and forth to each other and collaborating. And, well, you know, they'll do duets with a musician that they've never even met before.
Well, now that's interesting, because I've interviewed Michael, I guess, a couple of times, had him on different things over the past year. So I'm far less involved with him than you are, but I've actually met him in person once.
Oh, there you go. You got me beat.
Isn't that crazy? So you are in Canada. What?
I'm in Vancouver. Vancouver, British Columbia.
Okay, so that explains why you're on the Pacific Coast Times. Yeah, I hear it's a beautiful city, and I got friends there, but one of these days I will make it. But I wanted to use this opportunity not only to make my listeners aware of who you are, what you do, and also we're going to, you know, discuss some specific strategies and perspectives that will hopefully inspire and empower artists, which is, I think, both of our missions. But I'm also curious about your background. I actually just skimmed over your bio on your site, or one of your websites. But I'd like you to maybe give us the highlights of what brought you to where you are now, especially your involvement with music and creativity and all that good stuff. So I'll just let you take it away. And
sure. Well, I mean, I started, music has always been my life, like ever since I even had an ounce of self, you know, thought. So, I mean, I started playing guitar when I was 10, and started playing in, you know, noisy punk and metal bands. And when I was 20, I guess I was 21 or 20, I started working in a record store. And it was a great store, and I loved it. And I just, I always kind of, yeah, as a kid, I always wanted to work in a record store. To me, I mean, every weekend as a kid, I would go into record stores, and I just loved the environment. I loved being turned on to new stuff. I loved the clientele. So then I found myself working in a record store, and well, boom, fast forward 14 years later, I had worked my way up the ladder of this corporate chain, and I was the head buyer and doing all the marketing and advertising for the chain as well. We had a chain of 22 stores, and I loved it. Spent 14 years with them. And then the company went bankrupt, and, well, I lost my job. So after that, I kind of had to scratch my head and figure out, okay, what the hell am I going to do now? I mean, kind of thought music retail was going to be my life. I didn't expect it to die like this. Right at that exact same time is when some very good friends of mine just released an album, and they were scratching their head, or about to release an album, and they were scratching their heads going, well, what are we going to do with this? How are we going to market it and promote it? And next thing you know, we put our heads together and said, well, why don't we start up our own record label and promote your band that way? Because it's probably going to be easier for us to get industry support if we say that you're signed to a label, which is us, than me just trying to promote you as the friend of the band. Well, fast forward a few years later, and we toured all over the world together, and this band is Art of Dying, who is now signed to Warner, and they're doing great things. They're about to go out on the road with Shinedown. After I stopped working with them, because we found them, you know, they got signed to Warner Reprise. We got them a major, they're managed now by the same guy who manages Disturbed. So after that, I started trying to figure out, okay, what else am I going to do with Thorny Bleeder? So then I started signing some other artists, and I started managing some artists, and spent a couple of years doing that. And then I was getting, quite honestly, I was getting a little frustrated that a lot of these bands weren't going to the places where I had hoped they would. Their music was amazing, but they weren't reaching the levels of success that we together had envisioned. And there's a number of reasons why that was happening. And a lot of it was, you know, me realizing that bands didn't have the knowledge of self-marketing, self-promotion, social media. They just didn't get it. They were creative people, and these were things that they needed to learn, which they didn't know. So that's when I started really putting a focus on blogging about it, about music marketing and personal growth and all that type of stuff. And that led into the spin-off website that I've started, which is the DIYDaily.com, which is also a daily newsletter and a daily podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to come back and ask you about this. You not only have quality of work, but you have an intense quantity, which I want to get back to, maybe get some tips from you about how to maintain that schedule, because I have a tough time getting out a lot of stuff. But can I ask you, I know that you're younger than I am, but can I ask how old you are, Brian?
I'm 40.
Okay, so I'm about 11 years ahead of you. So that helps me get a little reference in the decades when you were, you know, when you were different ages, and, yeah, and so yeah. you definitely grew up, yeah, in the pre-internet era and watched that transition unfold.
I totally grew up in the pre-internet era, and right within the first couple of years of being at the record stores, when I actually took the quote savings that my parents gave me for school, that they were hoping I was going to go to school, and I bought my first computer in 1994, and I hooked it up to the internet thinking, I don't want to go to school. I want to keep working in a record store, and I think there might be something to do with this technology that maybe, I think, I don't know, I'm kind of turned on by it. So I got an internet dial up in 94 and never looked back.
Well, that's interesting. Even though I'm 11 years your senior, I guess, luckily I've always embraced technology, but it was like late 94, early 95 when I finally signed up. I say finally because I felt like I was behind at the time, but you know, looking back on it, we were ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
But I signed up for an AOL dial-up account, and that's when I first had email and first got on online. So we've actually been on the internet about the same number of years. So,
but I mean, I didn't start doing anything like promotional wise, I mean, for myself or for, because, you know, I was working with a company, so I was just, you know, poking around and learning the net, but I wasn't really doing anything promotional with it because I was, you know, still in deep with the record chain.
Eventually, you came around to that. Now, this band, The Art of Dying, that you worked with and is now signed, what type of music is that?
They're melodic hard rock. They're, you know, very much in the Three Days Grace type of vibe.
Okay, yep. and that was the band that you formed the record label, which is called Thorny Bleeder, right?
That's right. Yeah. So Johnny Hetherington and Greg Bradley, who are two of my best friends, they actually formed the record label like a week before I came on board.
Okay.
So they had the name and then but nothing else and this idea. So then I lost my job and it was like, oh, perfect. All right, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to be Thorny Bleeder with you. Let's do this.
So you weren't involved in choosing the name, but I know there's a story there. I'm sure there's is it some kind of a punk pain related thing?
Well,
or
no,
what?
Actually, what's really cool is that the name means absolutely nothing. There is zero meaning to it, and I love that. What they actually did was Johnny and Greg took both of their names. They put them together in an internet word jumble machine. They hit random, and it spit out like 12,000 different word options of what could be made up from the letters within their names. And, you know, as they're just scanning through all these different line items, Thorny Bleeder appeared. And they kind of looked at each other, and they're like, well, that kind of stands out. What the hell is that? And
cool.
It stuck.
I knew there was a story there, and that name probably wouldn't work for like a new age or
no,
music
but,
label.
And actually, the very first logo Johnny made up, the very first logo that I had to kibosh, I was like, dude, yeah, I don't know. Now with the image that you just made, you did give our label a meaning, and I'd rather it not be. I'd rather it be more ambiguous. The very first logo was a skull, a Jesus Christ skull with a crown of thorns. And I was like, yeah, dude, I might want to sign a blues band or a folk band in a couple of years. I don't think we want to do anything like that. So yeah,
that was smart thinking. Good thing you came on board.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
So really, it means nothing. It's totally ambiguous, and hopefully it stands out and is memorable.
Well, just a note I made here. So you worked for this record company for 14 years, and then, yeah, because of the changes in the industry or whatever, you got laid off. And I was wondering, like, at the time, did you think, oh, my God, this is the worst thing that could possibly happen? Or did you see it as an opportunity, or did that come more in hindsight?
Well, it was a combination of both. I mean, I was definitely a different person than I am today. I wasn't as comfortable in my personal shoes as I am today. So, yeah, there was a lot of it was incredibly stressful, but I also viewed it as, okay, now there are new opportunities. I knew that the retail world of music was dying, but I didn't want to admit it. So, yeah, actually, I lost my livelihood. I lost my career to the MP3, to technology. It took my whole existence away, and I was left really floundering. And luckily, Art of Dying was there at the almost like parallel week it happened. Hey, we're done our recording. Oh, hey, I lost my job. So it just kind of, you know, I gave myself a couple of months to try to figure out, to see if maybe I could find another job, because I mean, that's what society tells you. You're supposed to get a job. And I didn't have the entrepreneurial bug that I have now. I had to learn that. I looked at the skill set that I took away from being a music junkie. And, you know, when I looked at it on paper, I was a purchaser because I was a music buyer, or I was an advertiser, or I was a marketer. And when I looked at that skill set and how I could try to potentially apply that to potential work that might interest me and fulfill me and for me to be passionate about, there was nothing. So I was just, okay, I have to do something with music. So that's where it just became obvious. It's like, well, we're going to have to do this on our own. And luckily, there's this brilliant band that I believe in, that I'm in love with, and they're also my best friends. So let's see if we can put all of our passions together and make it work.
Cool. Just to give us a frame of reference, like what year was that you lost the job and started with Thorny Bleeder?
That was 2006, 6 years ago.
Oh, all right. So that's relatively recently then. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Seems like a lifetime ago, though.
I think when you work, whether it's working a day job or even being in a band that you're playing, you know, for a number of years, your identity is wrapped up in that role. And when it's taken from you or something shifts, you know, you suddenly feel, and I've had that many times in my life, in my 20s. Yeah, I played full-time music, mostly back then. It was in cover bands. But I remember when I got booted out of the last one. It was a shock because my identity was this working musician. But totally. That transition, there's a couple of years of stumbling around, but that led to me starting a local music newspaper, which I ended up doing for 10 years. And that was like the stepping stone that led to me being an author, you know, something I never saw back then. And then when I ended the 10-year period of being a music newspaper, you know, running the local music rag here in St. Louis, then I, you know, I purposely put that to bed after 10 years to pursue other stuff. But then my identity shifted again, you know, so we all go through these phases.
Very much so. I really, and that's why losing that job really shook the core foundations of me as a person, because it was my identity. I wasn't just Brian Thompson. I was Brian Thompson from A&B Sound. I was, you know, that guy who all my friends were people from record labels. Like every aspect of my life revolved around that job and the people I connected with on that job. And, you know, and it all just kind of went away. So I had to, start from scratch and recreate everything. And I'm so happy that it happened in retrospect. I mean, it really did. Going through those trials and tribulations of trying to really figure out who I am and what I wanted in life and what my passions were and what I wanted to pursue and leaving behind a possible legacy. You know, if you're an employee, if you're a number on someone's employee roster, you can't really leave much of a personal legacy. So right. All of this kind of came into mind, and that's kind of where I am now.
Awesome. Looking over your bio, did you mention that you also play a little bit? Didn't you play the guitar or something?
Well, I used to. I kind of hung that up a while ago. I realized that really business was, I was better on the business side of music than I was trying to fool myself thinking I was good enough to compete with those that really can play.
Right, but at least you have some familiarity with the attempt of playing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was in bands for years. I started playing guitar when I was 10, and I finally, maybe around, 12 years ago, I accepted the fact that, you know what, I probably aren't going to be a traveling musician.
Right. But you'll help others do that, though, right?
Damn straight. That's yes. Kind of what I've committed my life to.
Awesome. And so now how long have you been? Because I think it seems like you came on my radar just in the past year or so. But when did you get really active, with social media and becoming a resource for helping musicians instead of just directly manage them?
Well, I think when I launched the Thorny Bleeder site, probably just over 3 years ago is when I really started focusing on writing content to help people, not just in social media marketing, but also in artist development. Things that indie bands and DIY bands needed to at least consider as they went out there in their world of trying to, grow their career and grow their music. So it was about 3 years ago, because before then, the prior 3 years, it was all dedicated to Art of Dying. So it was, me and the boys in Art of Dying. And, I was still very active in social media, but it was only with the sole focus of helping strategize for the band. So then after Art of Dying got signed, that's where I was like, okay, now I got to widen the scope and see if I can help others.